Om Shanti. And we have a very good topic for the chat this morning, and that is newness for the new year. Newness for the new year. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking how every year we make some resolutions, don't we? Even before we came to Baba, used to think this year I'll be this or I'll be that, or I won't be like this anymore, I won't be like that anymore. But I thought about Baba's slogan this morning where he said that we put all these promises into files and we have to get them out. So let's make a promise to ourselves this year that we won't file these promises away, but we'll actually make them final. And also I was thinking of today's blessing. And Baba said today about being an altruistic server. And altruistic's a beautiful word that means I'm not wanting anything from it. I'm doing it only for service, for Baba, to help the world, but not wanting anything in return. And I was thinking about Baba's meeting, the Avyakt meeting, where he was telling us that we really have to pay full attention to the self. And I thought, well, is that altruistic if I'm paying full attention to the self? And I went into it deeper, and what Baba's saying is not comparing myself with anyone else, but going into the essence, into the depth, into the truth of myself, which is my purity. So beyond all the other qualities that are so important, purity is the most important, is the greatest. Do you agree? Because all the other qualities, if they're not part of purity, or if purity isn't part of them, then they can't be altruistic. So we can be loving, we can be happy, we can be peaceful, we can be all those beautiful qualities, but if there isn't purity there, then I'm looking for what's in it for me. What reward am I going to get? All this royal desires that Baba was talking about in the blessing. So if I want to be altruistic, if I really want to be altruistic, then purity is what I need to focus on. Because purity is completely devoid of any negativity or any ego or any of the vices. So I was looking at purity, and I thought the best way to look at purity is to take myself to the golden age. And Baba says, don't just take yourself to the golden age, but be in the royal family. Be part of the royal family. And what he says is, I'm not giving this knowledge to some and not to others. I'm giving it to everyone. So everyone has this opportunity to be part of the royal family. And I think that the way to be part of the royal family is to deepen our purity. So I thought of what I'm going to do when I go back to the retreat centre where I live in the Blue Mountains in Australia. And I thought, first of all, they'll all be asking what transformation has happened, because whenever any of us go to Mudurbun, we aim to transform something, don't we? We want to change. And so I thought, this time I'm not going to tell them. I'm going to say, see if I can practice it to the extent that you will notice it and see what happens. And the transformation I'm aiming at, I'm really wanting is to speak less, to be more essenceful, not to correct anyone, not to even have a thought in my mind of any criticism of anyone. But Sister Gopi from the UK, when she gave a class, she gave a very lovely example of Daddyji. And Daddyji had just been for a walk, and she came back, and in came this sister, and this sister went on and on and on, complaining, criticizing, very forcefully, loud, and Daddyji just didn't move her head, didn't show any emotion. She was just very, very calm, and she just waited patiently till the sister had finished. And when she finished, Daddyji said to her, "Is that all that you wanted to say?" And the sister said, "Yes." And so Daddyji gave her an apple, like some toli, she gave her an apple, and the sister just left. And Gopi said to Daddyji, "What did you think of all that she was talking about? What did you think of it?" And Daddyji said, "I didn't hear a thing that she said. I was focusing on my purity. I was focusing on my stage to see if my vibrations could calm her, could settle her down." And Gopi saw that they did. And so that's my aim. That's what the news that I'm really going to put into practice with, you know, like all my energy, is that my vibrations will do the job rather than talking, rather than telling people or even suggesting to people what they should do, but rather the vibrations touching them on a deeper level, on a level of purity. And purity never has any arrogance in it that I'm giving vibration so you can change. It never has that connotation. Purity is just a pure giving where there's absolute equality and no one is better than anyone else and no one is any worse than anyone else, but that we're all in it together. And also in the Avyaktamuli, Baba was saying, we'll all be together for the whole of the half a cycle. He said, I don't know about the second half of the cycle, but for the first half of the cycle in the golden and silver ages, we will all be together. And so we don't want to leave this life with anything unresolved between us and anyone. No resentment, no wishing something had been different from what it was, or that I would have said something different from what I said. And so I think it's a good time. We've got today and tomorrow before the new year starts to really, if we can verbally, put things right that have gone wrong with just a pure "I'm sorry" from the heart. If we can do that, it makes a huge difference. I don't know if any of you know the history of Australia, how terrible it was for the Aboriginal people when the white people came and just killed off so many. And then one day the Prime Minister said, "I'm sorry" to the Aboriginal people after all these hundreds of years, and the whole world rejoiced. Just this simple, "I'm sorry." And so it's quite a magical thing to say from the heart, and it means that, you know, it's all finished now. And people will take that, and usually they'll say, "I'm sorry too." And even if people have left the body, you can send them those thoughts of "I'm sorry." And there was an experiment done in America, and it was this psychologist, and I'm not sure of his name, but you can read about it online. It's quite a famous experiment. And he went to this very big, it was like a jail, but it was really for people with mental problems or challenges. And they were the worst offenders in America. They were extremely violent and uncooperative and everything like that. And he didn't see any of them. He just asked for a list of their names. Does anyone know about this experiment? Yeah. So he just asked for a list of their names. And he started with the ones that were the most violent of all. And he read the name to himself. He had a little office away from all the patients or, you know, people there. And he read one name to himself and he said out loud, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for whatever I've done that's upset you or hurt you. I'm sorry and I love you." Now, he didn't know any of these people at all, but he had the belief that he could change them through his, we would say, purity or altruism, but it was just what he believed. And there was an enormous improvement in the people in this home or jail. Well, I'm not quite sure what they called it, but they were imprisoned, but they were very, very, very violent, and their behaviour improved a huge amount. And he just went through every name like that and kept saying the same thing from his heart, that he was sorry and he loved them and he was sorry for anything that he'd caused them sorrow or anything. And would you like to add anything to that? That you. Thank you very much. So, sister's saying, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I left out the please forgive me. If anything I've upset you or caused any trouble, please forgive me. And I love you. And thank you." So we can practice that. It was quite an amazing experiment. And nothing different was in the lives of the patients except that what he was doing, which no one knew of, except, you know, probably the person in charge of the place, but the patients or clients, whatever they're called, they knew nothing about what he was doing. But it was the vibration that goes with purity, the vibration of pure love. So, Daddy Janki, her attention is all on the self. You know, when she talks about herself, she says, "Daddy did this and Daddy did that," like she's telling a story, not like she's saying "I" at all. There's no "I" in it. It's just "Daddy did this and Daddy did that." And it's just a real childlike purity in it, because children, Baba says, are like great souls, because they have no... they're in ignorance of the vices when they're very little. And they just have pure love. That's why they have to be taught, don't go off with strangers, don't go to anyone, you know, that's not in your family or you don't know, because they have this pure love and trust. And in the golden age, we'll all have that. And so I thought, as much as I can, in my meditation and in my mind, I'll go to the golden age. And like in the early days when people came to the Yajna, they just went into trance and went straight into golden age. They didn't have any knowledge and they just experienced. And what they came back with was really this childlike innocence. And sometimes Baba says in golden age we're Buddhas, and it means like we're just loving and not thinking much at all. And there's a story about Nuerbai when he first came to Gyan. He said to Baba, "I give you my mind, you know, man man above, fix my mind on you, and that's it, I surrender my mind to you." And Nuerbai had always been a very virtuous person, and he said he started to have all these terrible thoughts, you know, that weren't nice at all and weren't pure or anything. And he said to Baba, "What's going on? I gave my mind to you and look what's happening in my mind." And instantly the thoughts went and they never came back. So Baba had to play his part. If whoever I said, "I'm giving my mind to you," then Baba was in charge of it. So it's something that we could practice each day, or we could even do it each traffic control. Just when the traffic control comes, we could just say, "Okay, Baba, I give my mind to you." And the more we do this from our heart, the more it becomes natural. And that's the beauty of golden age. So in golden age, all those qualities of the soul that we know and we talk about will be natural. There won't have to be any effort at all. They will just be our natural way of being. And so free. And someone asked Daddy Janki once, "What's the greatest virtue of all?" And she said, "Freedom." But she said, "You have to have every other virtue before you can be free." So she said, "Just work on any virtue, choose any virtue you want, and all the others will improve because they're all connected." And so I do this at Amrit Vela, and to make it easier for myself, I go through the alphabet. So the first day I will choose a virtue beginning with A, might be angelic. And I'll work on that for the day, and then the next day I'll think of something beginning with B, you know, and it might be to bestow, or might be blessings, or whatever you choose, you can go right through the alphabet. And just, it makes a bit of newness, because every day, you know, that you can be working on a different virtue or title, whatever you like, and just see if that improves. And if you feel like you haven't done it justice for the day, you can do it again the next day. Like you could take 2 or 3 days over being angelic, or you might want to take a week over being angelic and just try. And what I find is it makes me slow down, because if I'm paying full attention to myself, I can't be rushing into answer or something. If someone asks me something, I need to first pay attention to myself and then answer from that point of purity. And so it does slow things down. And I think in golden age, we really do live at a slower pace, you know, not rushing around madly as we do in the world today. And those of you who know the Four Faces retreat, or have read the book, The Four Faces of Woman, and men can read it too, it's helpful to everyone. The first face is the original face. which is the golden age phase. And it's so innocent and pure. And we can go back to memories of a child. You could just now think of a memory as a child where you felt innocent and pure and completely trusting and happy. The one that comes for me is always I'm swinging in a swing. I can remember it as a little child swinging in a swing, and I can remember the feeling, and that's over 70 years ago. But I can remember the feeling of just freedom, just the swing going backwards and forwards and feeling completely, utterly free. And I feel like that's the feeling of the golden age. That's the original phase. And then we fall into the traditional phase. And the traditional phase is like, you can liken it to a little child. This little child will do what it's told. You know, like I had a friend who used to teach preppies at school. That's like before grade one. And I said to her, what's it like teaching preppies? Because I used to teach teenagers, like at high school. And she said, if you really want to know, it's like playing God. Because everything you say, the child takes the gospel, you know. The child believes with all its heart what the teacher says. And so it's the traditional phase is really taking in what others want. And religions say, you know, most religions will say, if you do this, God will love you. If you don't do this, you know. And so the traditional phase is always trying to do what others want and pleasing others. And then we go into the modern phase. And the modern face is rebellion. The modern face stamps its foot and says, I will not do what you say. And that's symbolized as the teenager growing up who wants to make their own rules and doesn't want to do what they're told and pulls the, stretches you every which way. And then we come to the Shakti phase, and the Shakti phase is the confluence age. So the confluence age phase is the one who neither does what other people do just for the sake of conforming, nor rebels against what anyone says, but has the courage to go back to the original phase. And it does take enormous courage. Whether we're in a male body or a female body, it takes a lot of courage because it really is going against the norm in society where everyone is saying, rush, 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 do 100 times more than what you're doing and have it done by yesterday. True? The modern phase. And so the Shakti takes the best out of the traditional, takes the best out of the modern, and has the courage to revert back to the original face of purity and innocence. So the Shakti, Baba says we're all Shaktis, whether we're Pandavas or Shaktis, we're all Shaktis, and it's the power, and it's the power that comes from Shiv Baba. And that power makes even the most difficult things easy. And so people are able to give up eating meat, give up cigarettes, give up smoking, give up everything that's not beneficial and that's not going to help them to return to the original. And also the Shakti doesn't judge others. And just a little situation, I can give an example of my mother-in-law. And my mother-in-law developed breast cancer when she was quite elderly. and I had to have her breasts removed, and she was in hospital. And we used to go every night to visit her in the hospital. And one night we went to the hospital and she wasn't there in the bed. And my heart started to beat, you know, and I found the matron who was in charge of the hospital. And I said to her, "Where's Mrs. Siegel?" And she said, "Oh," and she smiled and she said, "She goes around cheering up the younger women." And I thought, that's a Shakti, you know, like altruistic, pure. She wasn't a Brahmin, but just with that purity of intent to cheer up the younger women when it would have been much harder to have the breast cancer as an older woman than as a younger woman who would have more capabilities of healing. But that's what she did. So, and I'm sure you've all got situations where you've done some things altruistically with pure intent. And by remembering those situations, that's not ego. It's actually by remembering those beautiful situations, you become more like that. So any situations in your life where you felt that pure intent, the more you go over them, the more you enjoy them and relive them, they become more natural. And so this is why Baba says newness for the new year is also newness for the new age, for the new life. This is what he said in Sunday's Avyaktamurli, this one Sunday just passed, which was a New Year's Murli. He said, congratulations and good wishes and everything for the new age, the new life, the new year. And I really liked that because we always say to everyone, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. And of course it goes very quickly and it's the next Happy New Year. But Happy New Life, Happy New Age, it gives a different connotation to it, that we can really make this 2015 a milestone. You know, it can be experienced as the new age. We can take ourselves to the golden age as often as we can. And this is a big thing for me because I've never done this. I know I should have, but I haven't. I've always, every opportunity, gone to the soul world because I like the peace there. I like the peace and the silence and being just myself with Shiv Baba. And it's just so refreshing. But now I have to sort of take it in turns, I think. One time go to the soul world and the next time go to the golden age. And also to the subtle region where it's just pure light and Brahma Baba is there with a smile waiting for us to come and visit. You can imagine, just like you can say your great-great-grandfather waiting for you, or you could say your father or your friend, even your mother, waiting there in this golden snow-white light, waiting for you there to welcome you and to have that experience, which again is purity, innocence and sweetness. That's another quality of the new life and the new age, is sweetness. And that's why every Murli Baba says, sweet children, because over the years and over the situations that have come, we could have become bitter. And bitter is like sour. It's like we don't like that feeling. We don't like that feeling of being bitter. And sweet, everyone loves the feeling of being sweet and innocent and kind and gentle. So just some thoughts on newness for the new age. And does anyone like to ask any questions or like to share something? Does it resonate with you? Do you feel that is something that you would like to bring into the new year? It's not going to be easy because we're not used to having full attention. Daddy Janky says 99% of her attention is on herself. So we're not used to that. Our eyes are always going out, aren't they, to what someone else is doing or saying or being or... you know, there's even, I was thinking of food also, there's a return now to what they call slow food. Do they have that in your country, where you come from? Because in the Blue Mountains where I am, there's a very big group of people promoting slow food instead of fast food. And in fact, in the Blue Mountains, they have council rules that no fast food place can open. They're not allowed to have any fast food outlets. And what happens is people then start to grow their own food, which is natural. And a friend of mine went to this island in Japan, and you probably have heard of this. It starts with O, I think. It's quite a long name. I've forgotten the name. But anyway, they grow everything in the streets and along the beach. They grow all these green vegetables along the streets and along the beachfront, and people can just pick them and eat them. And the people there, many, many of the people are over 100 years of age, but they're perfectly healthy. And they share everything that they... Very simple life. Has anyone heard of that? What? Do you remember the name of the island? Yeah. So you can look up about it. But this friend of mine, she's been there 4 times because she loves so much the feeling of the sharing and the generosity of these people that... mostly it's green vegetables and back to the, without any pesticides and things like that. And look what we're doing with our organic farming. You know, the BKs with our organic farming, they've had amazing success of sitting, our yogic farming, I mean, the yogic farming, where they sit and meditate amongst the vegetables, and you can go and see the farm. I went years and years ago, it was this tiny little farm, and now it's absolutely huge, and they grow everything, and they sit and meditate by the plants. So we started doing it at the Blue Mountains, and you start off, you have the seeds, and you just put them in a little container where you have Amrit Vela. And so when you have your meditation every day, the seeds are also there. So they're taking the vibrations, and it's amazing, you know. But they've had so many experiments to prove that it does happen. And then we plant the seeds, and then we sit with the vegetables, everything. And you can't see any resemblance between what the vegetables that grow with this method and ones you buy in the shop, they just look completely different and taste completely different because they've got that love and meditation connecting them with Baba. And, of course, with virtues and kindness and everything. So... With the attention on the self, we have to be very careful not to put the self down. It has to be attention on myself as a child of God, in my perfect form, in my golden age form. So my attention is on having that purity to that standard of my perfect self. And everybody has a perfect self. And in the early days, they used to go to the subtle region and see their perfect self there. And Brahma Baba never knew that he had his perfect self in the subtle region. And Daddy Gulzar went and saw it, and he said, you know, like, tell me more about it. You know, what did I look like and what was I doing and everything like that. And then Baba said to them that everyone has their perfect self in the subtle region. So we can make up all sorts of encounters where we can talk to our perfect self and ask our perfect self, what can I do to become more like you? How can I fill that gap between what I am now and what I'm becoming? Because of this suddenly business, and I suppose people heard about a plane, another plane disappearing. I didn't know about it. Didi told me this morning. 160 people on the plane disappeared. Yesterday, I think it was. So we don't know what's going to happen suddenly. We don't know when it's our last moment. So Baba says, practice every moment as though it's your last moment. And if we do it slowly, if we take the time, we might be just about to say something to someone that's not a very nice thing, or that'll put them down in some way, make them feel bad. And if we're taking things slowly, just before I open my mouth to say it, I can stop and I can say something pleasant, kind. And I've been helping with the parents' retreat, and one of the parents told me this lovely story that she had her little child with her at Baba's meeting, and the little child was making a noise and talking and everything. And she thought to herself very sweetly, the mother, if I say to her, stop that noise, you're making too much noise, she'll start crying and she'll start being upset. And so she didn't say it. She said to the child, you're so good, you know, and I'll take you anywhere with me because you behave so nicely and you don't make any noise, you know, and you're so well behaved. And the child stopped. And so really, we can always help someone by seeing the good in them. And that was our homework the last year, not to see any weaknesses in myself or in others, not to see any weaknesses, any vices, any negativity, but to see their virtues, to see their greatness, and to see the greatness in myself. And so the points that we have for Amrit Vela are a great help in this. You know, I'm the lucky star, you know, or I'm the royal child, or each day a different way of looking at myself, which is always uplifting. It doesn't ever say the naughty child looking, having a conversation with Baba, you know, or the arrogant child having a conversation with Baba. It's always uplifting myself and seeing the beauty in every soul. And this is the natural way we'll be in golden age. We won't have to think, oh, what's the beauty in that person, or what's the virtue, or what's the strength in that person. We won't have to think like that, because it'll just be so natural that we'll just be happy, because everyone will be happy and everyone will be pure and kind and loving. And we have to do it now, because the day we are born in golden age, from that minute that we're born, we start coming down. So really, we have to be at that stage now, before we leave the body, so that we will come down in that stage in golden age, because once we come down in golden age, we can't improve. It's hard to believe, isn't it? In golden age, we can't improve. Ever so slowly, ever so gradually, we start to come down. So all the improvement has to be done now. And that's why it's lovely to have a special occasion like the New Year, where we can make these promises to ourselves and to Baba. And you might like to throw a challenge to those who live with you or those who go to the same centre as you, and just make a game and say, look, I have this something that I'm working on. If you notice any change in me, you know, you may like to tell me what you've noticed, because I'm not going to say what it is, but I'm going to live it and just see if anyone picks up on it. And so it just makes a little game of it, but they may pick up something else completely, because when we're focusing on purity, it will come out as many different virtues, you know. But purity is always the underlying virtue behind all the virtues, because it means it's making all the virtues divine, godlike. And in the old days, I used to always think I'd like to be a maid or a servant to Lakshmi and Narayan, and I used to dream about that. And one day I mentioned it to Jantiben, and she was really quite upset. And she said, don't ever imagine yourself as a maid or a servant. Always imagine yourself as part of the royal family. And so I've passed that on to everyone that I possibly can, because Baba says we can't make a rosary now of the Brahmins, because who was the last one can become the first. And, you know, from now we can start and we can take a high jump. And we've had people at the centre where I am, we've had people who were more than 30 years in Gyan, and they've left. And no one would ever, ever have believed it. And we know they'll come back, because Baba says everyone will come back. But it just verifies what Baba says, is that we don't know. We don't know. We certainly have every opportunity, every chance, doesn't matter how new we are. He says, last go fast. So, and then he says, those living out of centres develop quicker virtues, quickly improve more than those living in centres. So, you know, there's no obstacle whatsoever to being part of the royal family. And the other thing that Baba says all the time is past is past. So anything that we've done that's past, we shouldn't hold ourselves to that. I remember once my father-in-law, he asked me how was a certain person, and I said, oh, they're not very well. And he said, well, you know, he'd better change his thoughts. He actually said he put a curse on them, but that's how they used to talk in the old days, you know, that they put a curse on someone. But we do it by having bad feelings or holding a grudge against someone. That is putting a curse on them, because we know that thoughts reach people. Vibrations reach people. And so anyone that we've had a bad thought, a critical thought, a negative thought, anything like that, we just want to do, I think, like that psychologist that said, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and I thank you and I love you. And we need to do that. If we can think of anyone that we've ever resented or any situation where we've taken sorrow or given sorrow, it's such a beautiful thing to do that. It's such a freeing, liberating thing to actually resolve it through that method of good wishes, pure feelings. And that means anything even 5 minutes ago is past, we can put it right. Because every second, Baba says, the drama changes. It's a new shot. The drama is shot second by second. And 1 second is not the same as the other. So 1 second I could have a really nasty feeling towards someone. The next second I could completely change that and have a beautiful thought towards that person. So just a few ideas about the newness in the new year, and to think about the 2 days that we have today and tomorrow to have some very powerful thoughts about how we would like to be, because just by taking that first step of having those thoughts, Baba automatically gives a thousandfold help. He's such a generous-hearted, supreme soul that the help that we get is unbelievable. And that's why we say Baba's the magician, because he really performs magic if we just have that first step of courage to say, this is what I want. This is how I want to be. This is how I want to act. This is how I want to speak. More essenceful, only good thoughts, only uplifting thoughts for others. So I just passed before, when I was coming in here, a brother called Mohit, who used to live in the Blue Mountains, and now he's with his wife Sona, now they're in Abu Dhabi. Anyway, he came with a brother and his family, and he introduced me, and he said, this is a colleague of mine. And the family were not Brahmins, and the brother said, he said to me, Mohit is more like a brother to me than a colleague. And I thought, see, he hasn't had the knowledge, hasn't done the course, but he's got it. He's got the vibration from Mohit that he's more a brother to him than a colleague. And this is what we want to do, you know, through our vibrations, that wherever we go, people will think, this is my sister or this is my brother, you know, or we're one family. You know, it's just a beautiful feeling that we want to give, whether the person's a child or an older people. And one of the children said a beautiful thing to me, because I had made up my mind that I was going to walk up the stairs and not go in the lift. And so 3 or 4 times a day I walk up here in Vishnupuri, 3 or 4 flights. Anyway, he saw me and he said, Sister Sally, you're so old. Why don't you take the lift? That was so innocent and so pure. You know, you're so old. Why don't you take the lift? So, you know, like, everyone wants to be our brother and sister. Everyone wants to be part of our family. We just have to have that openness, that open heart to accept everyone as part of our family. Because Baba says he's the father of all souls. He says that every Murli, doesn't he? He's the father of all souls. So, time to finish. So, I hope that something... Yes? Yes, please. Yeah. Sister is saying, what about destruction? Because we've been talking about creation and sustaining that creation. So the weaknesses have an opposite. And say, well, an easy one is if I'm impatient. Now, Daddy Janki says, forget about your weaknesses. Don't sing a song of your weaknesses. Just what Sister said is right. Know what the weaknesses is. It's my impatience. And focus on the opposite. So the opposite is patience. Now, the more I focus on the patience, the more that goes up, the more the impatience goes down. And so actually... Baba often talks in paradoxes, and we can't actually destroy the impatience because we know it'll come up again in Copper Age, but we can merge it. And so as one goes up, the other merges. And so we can know whatever our obstacles are. Yes, the obstacles. One thing that I have that's not strong in me is the power to face. I don't like a confrontation with anyone, and so I need to work on having more courage. So I might think that the power, the not being able to face, if I can lift that courage up, then the fear or whatever it is that stops me from, you know, wanting to confront or something like that. So look for the positive rather than trying to destroy the negative. That's, how do you feel about that? As one goes up, it's like a seesaw. As one goes up, the other goes down. And Baba often talks about emerging and merging. So as we emerge the positive, the negative, it can't be together. They can't both exist together. Say patience and impatience. So as I increase my level of patience, my impatience will just merge. Till you can say it's destroyed because you won't see it, but it's actually merged. Because all the sanskars are merged and they come out in the Copper Age to a certain degree, into the Iron Age in a stronger degree. So just like that mother emerged the goodness in that little girl by telling her, you know, that she's so good, she'll be happy to take her anywhere, and that rather than pointing out what was bad about her. Does that make sense? Have a think about it. But, you know, Baba, he does talk in paradoxes, you know, like sometimes he'll talk about this is a battlefield. You know, it's a battlefield where you have to conquer Maya, you know. And other times he'll say, Maya's my daughter, I send her to make you strong. You know, because by overcoming the vices and the difficulties, the obstacles, we become Mahavir, strong, brave warriors. So, yeah.
सतयुग में तुमको आना है। विकराल विनाश खड़ा आगे
Maybe instead of confronting the weakness, we can acknowledge it and talk to it and say, I'm going to practice the opposite. So we don't really want to be at battle. So if we acknowledge the weakness and then work on its... See, the weakness is the shadow side. We don't want to work on that. We want to work on the truth, the natural quality of the soul. So maybe we could just acknowledge the weakness and work on its truth. Thank you. All the best for the new age, the new year, new life. And may you focus on yourself to such a beautiful extent that all the negative weaknesses merge and all the truth comes to the fore. Om Shanti.